All right, let's go ahead and get the meeting started. I guess we can go around the table here and everybody your introductions. So, I'm Eric Lightbender.
Carolyn from the DMV. Valerie Cochran and I.
William of Nelson from the Howard.
Craig Lipsy with DMPO.
Tom Wilson, Nelson.
Barley with the DO.
Carolyn Hagan with the DMV.
Rick Wilson with Nelson.
Terry Higgins, DO.
And Ross with DMPO.
Say it's a good other DMPO.
I'm Andy Chandler with DTV.
Jay Collins, KLCC.
We should have got an DO.
Jeff Whitaker with Latin Group.
Matt Schaefer with the NPO.
Drew Schaefer with the NPO.
Joey Waller with the Architect.
All right, first on the agenda is the approval of the previous minutes. Do we have a motion? All right, do we have a second? All right, all in favor? Opposed? All right, that passes. Under old business, project update.
And following along in the packet from the city of Evansville, Lineback at the New Grove Diet Project. Appraisals and review of services of state offers to the new attorney owner of the city center cluster in terms of evidence. Washington Avenue, 2nd Street, Harris Street area project, right-of-way engineering is in the city. We need to the high rail culture, which is the agreement, utility coordination, activities underway. Mid-levy connection, draft, environmental documents submitted to NDOT for review, and a CE document categorical. Under the signed inventory and replacement project, phase 2 is under construction and is 75 feet. They anticipate completion for August of this year. Phase 3 of that project, there's a request for proposal that has been pushed from the NDOT website. Vancouver County project, Columbia Delaware Bridge. The scouting report is submitted to NDOT on the 14th of April. The Newburn, Rivertown Trail, the town council signed the third supplemental to the peace contract on the 22nd of February. Three condemnations have been filed. What county project, Oak Grove Road, phase 3, pavement design revisions were made and submitted to NDOT on the 13th of April. Work trail safe up to school project. The survey is complete and the environmental work is underway. Moving on to the I-69 corridor, the Ohio River crossing, a notice of intent for the environmental impact statement was published in the Federal Register on February 15th, and the section 106 early coordination letter was sent to the exposure parties on April 20th.
All right, next up we have the certification review final for FHWA. That's Antonio.
All right, well, thank you all for having me. What I'm going to do is finally put faces with some of the names on some of the emails. I tried to get to the technical committee meetings a few times, but leaving India at 5 in the morning sometimes, sorry. I'm not going to rely so much on the presentation since we're in the technical setting. So I'm going to rely primarily on the document. That right there is basically for the city entire folks this evening. And I can be as detailed as you all want me to be, or I can be not so detailed. It's totally up to you all. Feel free to ask any questions as I go through this, and then we'll just take it from there. To start, Federal Highway and Federal Transit Administration started our certification review process approximately 10 months ago. part of that certification review process, we did what we call death audit. That is where we pull pretty much a whole bunch of NPO files and we just go through them. I think we pulled approximately 35 different audits. That's everything from UPWP, financial reports, plans, etc. From that, we identify areas where we feel that we need to dive a little bit deeper into, which brings us to the site visit. The site visit was had on February 1st and 2nd. The site visit covered 13 topic areas, and from those 13 topic areas, I can say right now, officially, it has been fine that the NPO came out all right. They're certified for the next 4 years. With saying that, I want to run through some of those things. So for start, prior to this certification review, or the last certification review, my colleagues found approximately, I think it was like 18 recommendations and one correction action. At the start of this certification review, all those things have been resolved. So no longer on the NPO's plate, and everything is good. So what do we go through? First thing we went through was the NPO planning boundaries. What we were doing was checking these things to ensure that they were, the boundaries were in line with federal regs and United States code. Our findings was that the boundaries and the way that those boundaries were decided was carried out within the guidelines of 23 United States Code 134E and 23 Code of Federal Regulations 450.312. And what those are just laws that govern the NPO. Any questions on the boundary? The next thing was the Unified Planning Work Program. What this is, I'm sure all of you all have worked on, is basically the budget of the NPO. We dived into that. This was actually one of our risks nationally and for the state of Indiana. So we were looking for things in terms of if you put certain things in your UPWP that you want to complete within that year, are you actually completing that? And what we found, regardless of the situation that was drawn towards the NPO, whether it was continuing resolution that we're currently on right now, are any type of issues that came, whether from the state or from us, they were very successful in completing their task. And so for that, we found the NPO in compliance of United States Code and the Code of Federal Regulations. The next thing was the plan, the long-range transportation plan. What we were doing was looking at all the different chapters of the plans, seeing if they complied to the, I want to say, like 14 different things that the reg said has to hit on. Now, in this, we did find that the NPO had carried out everything as it relates to the regs and the law. However, we did have a recommendation for this, and I'm going to just kind of go through that for the sake of NDOT being here, KYTC being here, and then some of the conversations that I've had with the NPO, and for the fact that we have NEPS here, and I don't think there's anybody from Marcy here. And so the big thing with the plan is, in the way we talk about the transportation system, right? The transportation system within the metropolitan planning area, or the MPA. And what that means is, if there's a road, a bus, a sidewalk, whatever it may be within that system, then that falls up under the preview of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, in this case being Evansville MPO. What was not included in the plan, more specifically the financial part of the plan, was those financial projections for those long-term things, i.e. the money or the proposed money on how you satisfy whatever goals you have that you want to address within your long-term plan, right? And so, in looking at that, we understood that in Indiana and in Kentucky, there's a political reason why oftentimes that doesn't happen. It don't make it right. And I want to be clear with that. It do not make it right. It goes completely against the red as it relates to projections of financial resources over the period of the plan. And that's close to verbatim how it's written in the reds. In saying that, though, we do believe that there is an opportunity pushing forward, especially on the Indiana side with a new commissioner, a new governor, and some of the talk that has been had, and with KYTC, some of the talk that they are currently in terms of the six-year financial plan, that we can probably address this, or at least push forward to sometime in the near future. And when I say near future, 4 years, 8 years, we could truly, truly have a plan that really satisfies those financial requirements in the reg. So what that means is currently what is listed on those non-local facilities are financial dollars for those TIP users, right? And so we recognize, and I think after talking to everybody from all the organizations that I spoke of earlier, we recognize that that is something that we do need to address. But we don't feel like it's at a level now where we can actually say this is a finding, therefore we have to come down and do some type of tentative solutions. So are there any questions on that? All right, so the MTP was carried out within the guidelines of the federal laws and the regulations. Transit planning. And this was a big in-depth discussion, not only at the site visit, but after the site visit. And since Mets is here, this was also a discussion probably during your training, right? Currently, I think the current makeup is the NPO is currently providing a resource to the transit agencies, a resource that they don't have. They have dedicated an individual to do transit planning. Now, NPO is responsible for doing transit planning as it relates to NPO planning, but I believe they have taken on that sole role of actually conducting that planning for the transit agency. With that being said, there have been several products that have been produced by the NPO that has used local, state, and federal dollars. And from that, from a federal perspective, we'd like to see some type of action, or at the very least, a reason why there is inaction. What I'm getting to is that though the planning part was carried out within the guidelines of federal regs and federal code, we believe that there is opportunity for Mets, Hearts, NPO to kind of come back together and kind of look at the arrangement of things and the resources that are being provided. And if Mets and Hearts, for whatever reason, feel that those resources are not, that they cannot adequately use those resources to accomplish whatever mission they have, then probably look at that and say, okay, what can we do differently? I say that to say this, there's a lot of moving things happening. There's a bigger picture here. There's an absence of linkage across the Ohio River. There are many things moving here. And so that relationship, the improvement of the relationship, not only from a meeting perspective, but more so from a resources, from a documentation, and so on and so on, we believe as Federal Highway and Federal Transit will benefit you, especially as we usher in performance measures and targets. So, are there any questions on that? I think it's easy. TIP, once again, just like the MTP, the TIP carried out within the guidelines of federal regs and the United States Code. So, no issue there. Public participation. Once again, I think, honestly, I think we saw some things that could be useful, not only in Indiana, but across the country. one of the things that I think that really, really stood out to us was the APL would show how their projects and what type of projects they were doing were linked directly to some of the public participation. That is oftentimes extremely difficult. And I'm speaking from experience as someone who worked at the planning organization level and the state level. But the fact that they're able to show that, whether it's the Letter Opportunity Project, I don't even think you all was talking about our opportunity project, the bike trails and stuff like that, and being able to say, hey, we did public participation right here, this is what came out of this, and this is how we got to here. The right size of the projects, it was pretty much phenomenal. And so we actually commended the APO for that. So, any questions on that? Civil rights, same thing. As in all things, especially when you're dealing with public dollars, the dollars is meant for anybody who needs those dollars, regardless of race, sex, national origin, religion. And so the NPO, in our opinion, in the absence of a lot of guidance that we have not given out at the Federal Highway, basically took a leadership role and developed some documents and used those documents to develop their public participation plan, which led to the project. So all those things are linked, and we actually commend you on that. So, of course, it was done within the guidelines of federal regs and regulations. Consultation and coordination, same here, done within the guidelines of the regs and the United States Code. Coordination is evident, not only with the local authorities here, but even with NDOT and KYTC. This is not only like a good thing for the NPO, but this is also for the two state DOTs. I mean, I know you know, if I don't want to brag for Vincent, you all do it a lot better than some other districts within the state of Indiana. I believe it's that. And I understand about KYTC, the folks that are down here coordinating with NPO. The only thing we could see is just a positive relationship. And so we really didn't have anything else to add on that other than in terms of data. And I know a lot of people who sit in this room for the organization are not the ones responsible for the data. You know, and so that's a conversation that we will be having with the central office. But in terms of the spirit of coordination, it was carried out within the regs. Environmental mitigation and planning environmental linkage. For me, all that don't know what that is, and I'm really going to explain this too for the state DOTs, because I know this is one of the things that nationally state DOTs struggle with. So what this is rather than looking at a project right before it goes in NEPA, is looking at a project 10 years, 5 years down the line, and say, okay, this is what our priorities are, and this is what we want to do. What are the potential hurdles that could potentially be standing in the way? And what are the sensitive things that we need to look at? This NPO do that with their projects. And so, of course, it was carried out within the guidelines of federal regs and United States Code. Our recommendation, though, is, and this is a conversation that my office and Protective Division office, and FCA is having with the state DOT's central office and headquarters, is for those state projects, the same thing needs to be done. And so it's not at the thought of the district. You all have done exactly what you all's manual say do. And so at this point, we're having a manual conversation with you all's headquarters. So again, the planning environment linkage was done within the guise of the United States Code and the federal regulations. Bicycle and pedestrian planning. Once again, earlier I talked about the letters of opportunities. Through the bicycle and pedestrian planning has been, at least from what we saw, some of the physical evidence of how the NPO has provided letters of opportunity. We did a bus tour the day before the certification. Well, actually the day that the certification was started,
one of the areas we went to, I think, was on the other side of Lloyd, and it was a pedestrian project, bike pedestrian project. And the NPO walked us through how they got to that. You know, hey, we did public involvement that was based on our Title VI for civil rights, our civil rights plan. And we found that we had a need here because folks had limited access to vehicles, they were riding the bus, and this is where they were going. And they were really scared about crossing under the Lloyd Expressway. So this is a project that came out of that. The direct correlation was amazing, so much that our bike head person, which is Joyce, who is actually one of our national leaders from the federal stand, actually commended you all on that. I think even sent something to headquarters. So, of course it was within the regulation and the United States Code. I think the only recommendation was maybe some of the other communities that did not have bike and ped linkage would somehow come up with a plan. But, you know, that's more so you all in your coordination with the other local communities and whenever they're either motivated or have the resources to do it, doing it. So, congestion mitigation process. What that is essentially looking at your congestion and developing projects to support reducing that congestion, and then to maintain operations. I know we had a lot of discussion on that. We had a lot of different viewpoints. We all came to the conclusion that Evansville, if not Indianapolis. And I think we concluded, well, I know we concluded that officially you all have done everything that y'all can do, we think, in terms of the regs and the law. But in all things, we do have a recommendation, and it's really just that expand upon the performance measures when you address the average incident clearance time. And I know that's something that you all probably look at as you do target setting and performance measures and stuff like that. But still, within the guides of federal law and regulations. With that is my report. I am open for any questions that you all have. And if not, let me do this real quick. Put my button in there. Any questions?
On your talking about the decision on your average chance time, about cleanup time on the federal highway from a traffic collision, or you come up from a road project?
I'm talking about traffic collision. So, and it's not just, you said the federal highway. I want to not use it loosely. We're talking about the roadway system, the transportation system. Also, I mean, as you get into the target setting with your transit, even incidents on the buses. So, how do you clear that? What is the window to get everything back open and running?
But one of the things that we're looking at, we have that same concern that we close down 41 for the expressway for a major traffic situation that we have to do reconstruction on because it either involves a fatality or potential criminal thing. One of the things we were even looking at to try to speed the process up, because I know it's a major hindrance for everyone, including us, is we're actually looking at software to put on a drone that can hover over the scene, we can close it down for about 10, 15 minutes, place our marker for our reconstruction measurements, the photograph, download it in, and then the map it, or some scale body, and then we can open it back up instead of doing it. But we don't have the funding for that yet, it's just something we're looking at, and so I just thought this would be a good time to bring it up. So that is one of the things we're going to try to pursue to help meet that goal.
Well, we're looking with that, we might have to have a conversation with myself, the office.
Okay. Yeah, it's in its infancy, but we were talking about the discussion of drones in general, and that was one of them that we saw was really the help for us in having to shut down the major highway from these new constructions. And we've had a number of them in the last few months of those running, but we're shutting them down, and unfortunately that happened at a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
The problem is that they're not really clear cut, so I can't grant the freedom as a criminal matter that we can turn them out of noise. And I know it's a major call for the state, less locally, and for our communities.
Yeah, and I would say, so if you don't mind me asking, what organization do you work for?
EPD.
Okay. So what I would say is, that's great. I don't know how the communication is, but that the communication of that, and especially data, could help the EPO not only with congestion management and operation, but also as they look at their ITS plan, our intelligent transportation system plan. Because all those are data-based plans on, okay, what is going on our roadway now? And what are the methods that we're going to use to address what's going on our roadways now? And those conversations are conversations that in the context of the EPO cannot do it without having police, EMT, and basically emergency personnel at the table. And I'm sure some of that will probably be talked about as you all move through the safety plan and stuff like that. But yeah, all those things are connected, and that's one of the reasons why we identified it as something, you know, as a recommendation. So.
Anybody have anything else?
Well, you all have been absolutely positively awesome, so.
Well, thank you for the subway handling.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, up next, we'll go to the 2017 Regional Fire Report Fire Isolation Plan, the KYTC unfunded projects. So, Lori.
So we brought this draft last month at our meeting, and for those of you who are probably new, this prioritization plan helps us, the NPO and Henderson, we basically prioritize unfunded projects, state projects, for Kentucky. We posted this document on our website on April 6th, which was our last meeting. We accepted comments through April 24th, and no comments were received, so we are asking for your approval to proceed with that document.
So we need to continue to vote on this?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the 2017 Regional Prioritization Plan for KYTC unfunded projects? Do we have a motion? All right, do we have a second? Second.
I'm not voting to move
this.
All right, all in favor? Anyone opposed? All right, major matches. So thank you very much for that. Next up is the draft fiscal year 2018-2021 schedule.
Great. You guys have seen this before. We were here in the process of just take several months of working with all of our partners on the projects and the work items that end up in the final tip, which you guys already know what the tip is. That's the projects that are going to be moving forward over the next 4 years. We've got copies of the final draft here and down on the side of the table. You saw the project list in March. You saw a draft tip in April. We have public comment period that ran from the middle of March through April 22nd, so March 23rd, April 22nd. During that time period, we have three public open houses on the project, two here in the city of Evansville and one over in Henderson. We did receive just a couple of public comments on that, which you'll see a summary here on page 2 of your memo before we take a look at those. I really want to focus on what's changed from the draft tip to the final tip. So as we're always amending the tip, as you know, here monthly, we had some late-breaking project changes that you see summarized there in the table. We revised the schedule on the city of Evansville second street schedule, bumping that out from fiscal 19 to fiscal 20. NDOT requested that we add a number of rail safety projects that we're going to talk about in the current tip here in a moment. We've added those to the list. We've revised the FTP planning from revising the estimate, and also revised a estimate for a next bus purchase. Significant changes to the text of the document. We reviewed, removed the discussion of planning outside the MTL planning area and added a discussion, the urbanized area discussion, to make that somewhat clear to people in the area. We did a significant discussion with the planning partners on performance measures and targets, so we expanded that discussion on pages 13 to 17. We revised the public participation process. We removed the TIP amendment discussion, removing an amendment not requiring public review. That's something that we never really utilized anyway, and filled that out. We also corrected a table that inadvertently had the wrong plan, so we duplicated the next table on the hard table, and that was an error that we caught and replaced those correct information, and then cleaned up any typos and typographic errors, of which I noticed that I got one this morning that I cleaned up this way. So that always happens. And again, a couple of comments that were submitted, so I'll go ahead and take a look at those, and we also have a response to those there in the discussion. And I won't belabor it any further than that. If you have any questions about the tip, I will try to answer them.
Do I have any questions? We need an approval of votes.
Do you have a recommendation?
We have a motion to approve the draft FYI 2018 to 2021. Anyone? Motion?
All right.
Do we have a second? All right, all in favor? Anyone opposed? All right, motion passes. All right, under new business, Craig.
Yes, going back, so reverse for a moment. The current tip, or the new tip that we were just making a recommendation on fiscal 18 to 21, we anticipate that will be approved this afternoon, but it won't take actual effect and be operating until we get some federal and state approval, so that will push us to really ramping up and replacing the current tip in July. So during that time period, we need to make sure that the current tip is up to date. And the request was to add those rail safety projects that I spoke about in the new TIP need to be amended into the old TIP so that those projects aren't delayed in any way by that transition process. So we got requested that we add these. They're basically all to add active train railroad crossing safety devices at a number of projects. Essentially, they're all the same description, so I'll just revise those. Engle Avenue at Central Western Railroad. Again, we're adding active gates, flashing lights, bells, and safety devices at the project. Preliminary engineering in fiscal 18 and construction in fiscal 19. Each of the projects except for the last one are all 20,000 on PD and 360,000 on construction, and they're all federally funded with 100% safety funds. The next is Peerless Road at Evansville Western Railroad Crossing, Home Road at Evansville Western Railroad Crossing, Bay Camp Road at Evansville Western Railroad, Leslie Avenue at the CSX Rail Crossing, Oak Creek Road at CSX Rail Crossing, County Line at Evansville Western Rail Crossing, and then on the state system, or the U.S. system, U.S. 41 at Indiana Southern Railroad Crossing, that one has a slightly more expensive construction cost of $300,000. And those are all projects that we're amending into the current.
Okay. Any
anyone have any questions on those? So do I have a motion for approval?
Thank you.
Do we have a second? All in favor? Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Alright, motion passes.
Great. Sam, time to last time as well. This was for your information. You don't need a motion, so there will be no pressure there. Revising the UPWPS on work program to revise the SP budget for fiscal 18. SEP UPWP cost $173,000 total. I believe that's a modest response to what we're looking for. That's for your information. No need for it.
Thank you, Greg. All right, under other business, we have an invite call for the conference process. So.
I have some information to pass out here. Which is really an engineering planning department.
that's in terms of looks at the data, looks at where there's need, where we have high crash locations, that type of thing. And we begin this year-long process of scoping projects, doing field assessments, trying to get input from some various parties, and go through this whole exercise to get those funded and put into a five-year plan. It starts there. It moves on to development, and that's what we call capital programs. And that's where further development occurs. A lot of times we'll have consultants come in. They're looking at what tech services plan. They look at different alternatives. And it really kind of depends on when that project is going to be delivered. It's really within that department. Because what happens is we have these grand ideas for ADA and curb replacement within cities, or we want to do added capacity lanes or whatever, and guess what? We don't have good right-of-way. And that determines whether a project gets delivered in 3 years versus 5 years. And it is right-of-way. Right-of-way can take anywhere from 2 to 5 years. Sometimes other factors enter into that longer development time, because I'm sure you all wonder, why does it take so long? Why does it take so long? So right-of-way is one issue. A lot of other issues are just on local access routes. They may not match up with the state facility as well as we would like. And so that creates some difficulties in getting that project to happen. One that comes to mind that you're probably all familiar with is Hillsdale. Just the way with it, you've got a railroad there, you've got different grade, it's just not easy to do a safety project at that particular intersection without a lot of consultant coordination and talking with the locals. Another one that comes to mind is Mount Pleasant. Out of everybody, I'd like to see a turn lane there, a right turn lane. But if you notice how close the rail is, not only do we not have enough right-of-way, then we got to deal with the rail. And that can sometimes be very difficult and sometimes cost prohibitive. But those type of locations we keep on our radar constantly. We constantly monitor and plan for improvement. I'm not keeping up with the slides. When we look at planning our projects, these are the things we really have to keep in mind. These are NDOT goals. We want to plan projects. We want to keep them on time and on budget. You guys have heard of scope creep where you get into a project and so you want to start adding things, and sometimes that's the right thing to do. But we really want to practice practical design and give you a product that meets the needs and not a Cadillac. So we want to stay on time and on budget. We also, when we plan projects, we want to take care of what we have, and that's preservation. So you do see a lot of pavement jobs and resurfacing, and you guys don't see chip seals here, but we really want to practice preservation, and that's kind of where we're at as a state, I think, to take care of what we have, our roads and bridges. But where we're really focused, in particular with our new commissioner and governor, is on customer satisfaction. And there's a difference between customer service and customer satisfaction, right? So customer service are things that we do to serve the motoring public, but what we're really aiming for is satisfaction, and that's the outcome of that service. We want it to be a good experience for the people that we need. Quickly, this is the Vincent District Office, which serves 16 counties. We have 6 sub-districts. These are what I call maintenance facilities that serve those 6 areas. We have 4,425 lane miles that we service, 450 lane miles of interstate, tons of culverts, and I'm not sure this includes 9 at this point. But
thousand state bridges, bunch of snow routes, bunch of traffic signals that we'd like to get rid of, right? Nobody likes those, right? They get rid of them, right? A bunch of flashers we deal with and a lot of road signs. So that's really inventory. You want to look at that better inventory. I want to throw out here quickly. Everyone is welcome to voice a public concern. There is nothing that seems silly. If you have a concern on a state facility, or even a local, we can work with the MPO, contact NDOT. There's several ways to do this, and they're in your handout, so I'm not going to go into that. You can call by phone, you can see what's going on. You can email. There's online reporting now. That type of thing. Our customer service department, this is just really, just to let you know, they try to do press releases five to 10 per week. I'm not sure we're really doing that. We're doing a lot with Facebook now. So consider signing up for some of those show series. I encourage you to also look on the NDOT website. There's a lot of information there that you can use that's helpful. This is just a quick overview of how we deal with customer service inquiries. So yeah, so back to project selection. That's why we're here. We do look at public concerns. We look at local public agencies. So all of our towns, cities, and counties that we serve within 16 counties within our district, we try to get input there. When we select projects, we look at a lot of things, and it's based on condition, which we're really working on this to improve that process right now. But we do look at pavement conditions, we look at bridge conditions, definitely look at high crash locations for traffic safety. We also look at mobility, which is, that one's a tough one in our district. You know, love to add a capacity on 41 once again. Wow. There's a lot of things you need to fix before we can do that, and you're looking at $50 million, right? And a lot of right-of-way. So when we try to balance safety, mobility, and our condition of our assets. This is not in your area. This is up in Fort Wayne. And this is the thing that we look at. Luckily, our roads down here aren't in that condition. I just like to point that out. So this is just an example of bridge condition. You can see what's going on with this one. Just an example of traffic safety involves more than just signage, it's pavement markings, high surface friction treatment. There's tons of things that we look at for traffic safety. And we're really moving away from traditional solutions when we look at safety. So this was a cool picture. These are the, this is down South Jeffersonville area, and it's kind of a neat picture. That was a major project, not in our district, it's in the Seymour district, but I wanted to point out some new things that they are trying. If you see the surface, this is a new surface that we're trying as an experiment. So I want to push that out. These are just some statistics. So that's our annual call. I mentioned 3 years versus 5 years in development time earlier. These are just some of the things we look at. This is just a graph. This kind of helps us look at our 5 year and how we're funding during that 5 year time frame. For since Mr. Brown will get this right, Sean, you may know better. I think we plan and deliver about, what, $100 million a year in projects. I'll do that right. Yes. You guys know about the SIP, that type of thing. I mentioned this is where we're heading, the people we want to get involved with early. Also, just to mention, too, with project development, we have to deal with a lot of other agencies that can often delay time and these are some of these agencies. They have so, there's so many things, requirements they have to meet. Also, on the federal side, the agencies we work with. And you guys are familiar with the NEPA and all that? Yes. These are some examples of public involvement. As I said, we want to get much, much better into this. But these are some examples that have been successful. You guys know what that's at. And this is not updated, but if you do go to the website, in that website, you'll see an 18-month project list. That's what's published in addition to the SIP. And here's where I'm going with that. It's really cool. If you want to see what's going on in your county, any county in the state, if you go to this and then you click on the map, it actually lists every single project, everything. Small culvert, traffic modernization, the RPM, the pavement. You'll see all of that there, and I encourage that you do that.
Those are going on right now, or that are coming up?
Just like, yeah, a lot of people don't, I didn't know about this until.
That is a response to basically some public and us at the federal level saying, hey, you know, let's try to make this more transparent. So working with Ricky in the central office is great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I use it
because it's just all the lists we look at and all the projects and the list is saying, so if I click my county, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. So I'll encourage you to use that. So I got it right here, but not on the front one. We've had a lot of different people having opportunities within that. Our Rusty Ballard, our UDC, which many of you know, he went to Crawfordsville to fill in there, and then Shane Spears filled in. Now Shane went to Crawfordsville, so we just had a lot of change. So, all right, that wasn't too bad. Anybody have questions? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. Next up is, do we have any public comments?
Seeing none, I guess we have a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Appreciate it.